Thank you again, praise team. Let's go to the Lord. Father, again, we come before you and we thank you for the mercies that you have shown us, the knowledge that you have given us, the wisdom that you have granted us, Lord, and the ability to take all of those things and to live out our faith. And Lord, as we learn today what many of us have heard so many times before, Lord, but each time we hear it, it reinforces that you give us things, circumstances, weapons to use, Lord, as we live out our faith. So, Father, please remove me from this and let your Spirit speak to each heart as they would have and as they need. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm not going to have any loud alarms or anything for you today like I did last week. I had some comment and say, well, that really woke me up, Pastor, and that was the whole intent and purpose of it. Well, to wake us up to the knowledge that we are at war. We are at war against the world, the flesh, and the devil. We are at war against things that try to pull us away from God. But if you are at war, you need to belong to an army. You cannot sit, as we said last week, you cannot be passive. You cannot be a fence sitter in this particular war. You have to be engaged, because if you're not engaged actively on one side, you're engaged inactively on the other side. Now, when an individual joins the Army or the Navy or any other military branch, the first real experience is, of course, boot camp, basic training. And one of the things that they have you do is you receive your first government issue, your first GI material, your uniforms, your boots, or in the Navy, we used to call them boondockers. I don't know what they call them now. Those half boots that come up to about the top of your ankle and leave blisters the size of silver dollars on your feet. And then you get everything. You get military underwear. You get military everything. And then you have to stencil your name on it and take possession of it and fold it the right way and all these things. But when they do that, you walk down this line and you've got a duffel bag or a sea bag, we call it in the Navy, and they just keep putting stuff on it. They say, okay, you look like a medium. They throw it in. Here's a pair of boots. What size do you wear? 7? Here's a 12. You know, it's that kind of thing. That, folks, if you've been there, you know exactly what I'm talking about, okay? But in this war that we have as Christians, God gives us a kit. Now, that's what the British military calls their basic issue stuff, your kit. Okay? We need this kit to fight our battles. Now, this is found in two places in Scripture. Our text today is Ephesians 6, but also in Isaiah 11, it says righteousness. It talks about it as a girdle and a belt. In Isaiah 59:17, it talks about righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation. You see, this is where Paul received the inspiration through the Holy Spirit. You see, everything that's in the New Testament is found in some form or fashion in the Old Testament. Whether it be sacrifice or it be the kit that God gives us to fight our wars with. Now, I want us to turn for our purpose today to Ephesians 6. 10 through 18, as I stated in the prayer, this is something we have heard our entire life in church, but it is true that God gives us these things so that we can stand firm in that day that we are called into the active battle. And folks, that is every day. Every day. So Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, notice there, twice he says, the whole armor of God. If you're in the modern military and you go out into the battle with your helmet and your boots and your gun, but you don't have your body armor, you don't have your belt, you're going to be walking around there trying to keep your pants up all the time instead of fighting the enemy. We are told to put on the whole armor of God. Every piece is needed. Every piece is important. Every piece has its purpose. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Again, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Of course, we see this in Isaiah. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You see, we fight this war for all saints, for the entire church, the body of Christ. Now we're going to look, first of all, and you see an image of a Roman soldier. Of course, that is what Paul was referring to when he was talking about the armor, and we'll cover that here shortly. But Paul begins by letting us know that our strength is not in ourselves. We must trust in God, His strength, His power, not our own. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We cannot be strong in ourselves. You out there by yourself, you're going to be surrounded, you're going to be attacked, and eventually you're going to give up. But if you're not by yourself, if you're surrounded by saints and you rely upon the power and the working of God in your life, you will be a warrior that is unconquerable, that is victorious, because we're not doing it in our own might. We're doing it in the strength of the Lord and His might. What does the old song say? We are weak, but He is strong. This is true for children that sing Jesus Love Me, but it's also true for us adults, because that is what we rely on for our strength in the Christian battle. The armor provided us gives us the power to withstand the onslaught of the enemies, the world, the flesh, the devil, as we said. And we stand because of what God gives us. He not only gives us this armor, but He gives us the Holy Spirit. God is within us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know that He that is within us can overcome anything from outside of us. Whether we face difficulties in our jobs, our families, our school, our health, our situations, whatever they may be, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. The reason these weapons work is that we do not fight a physical warfare with men. Let's face it, folks, if being a Christian just ended up us whooping people, although some might find satisfaction in that, a lot of us couldn't fight very long. A lot of us have passed that point of no return. You know, I realized that when I tried to play soccer with a bunch of middle school students a few years ago. It reminds me every time I go up and down the stairs at home working, I am not the 25-year-old man I once was. Heck, I'm not even the 45-year-old man I once was. You know, I've got about 11 years past that. But I'm going to tell you, we need to fight in the spirit, in the spiritual realm. Why? Because our true enemies are not physical carnal man. Remember, God died for them too, and if they would repent and convert, then they would be on our army. But they're the enemy, shall we say, that controls such people is the one who's the true enemy. How do I know that? Well, verse 12 told us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, when it talks about principalities and powers, we're talking about the demonic realm. Folks, evil is controlled by demonic powers. Now, people commit the evil, so they must be held responsible for the evil. But yet we know that they are controlled by something much more powerful than them. In fact, let's face it, it's much more powerful than us on our own. That's why we need God. That's why we need this armor. That's why we need these things. That's why in verse 13 it says, well, let me go there first. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. We do everything we do. We take this armor, and in that evil day, that day of battle, the day when we need it, we're able to stand firm in what God has given us. And what has He given us? First of all, He's given us the truth. And then He's given us the way. And He's given us life. Now, who embodies that? Of course, Jesus Christ does. For He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But in verse 12, go back, it says, against rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. High places, when you study it in its original languages, here we're talking about political, governmental, kingdoms, and things like that. You see, if they are not of God, they are controlled by the evil one. Now, folks, being a good Southern Baptist, I'm not going to tell you there's a demon hiding behind every bush. If the light bulb goes out, I'm not going to pray against the powers of darkness, okay? We smile at that because not everything is a demon's fault. Sometimes it's our own fault. But let me tell you what, a lot of times there are forces that we can't see, that we hate, that we avoid, that do control evil people in the wicked acts that they perpetrate. Do you know that if that evil is dealt with and done with, then the person no longer does those things? If that person, sin is dealt with by the cross and they repent and they convert, they no longer want to do the evil that they've all done. And brothers and sisters, every one of us in here that is mature can say that. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. We have been found by the grace of God, and we have had our eyes opened by the Holy Spirit to show us what is right and what is wrong. You see, we are commanded to take the whole armor of God so that we can withstand. Those who do evil in this world are controlled. The enemy of our soul controls them. He and his minions, let's just admit this. The devil is not the opposite of God. The devil does not have the power God has just in the other direction. He is a created thing. He is a created personality, created being. He is not omnipotent. He is not omniscient. He is not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at the same time as God does. Therefore, he has his minions. He has demons, and he has the people that work for him, sometimes knowingly, sometimes not knowingly, but they still work for him. And those are the people that we have to face. You see, he is allowed by God to control the carnal world to some degree. He is called the God of this world, isn't he? Little g. God does give him the authority to do things. If you don't believe me, read the first part of the book of Job. Even the devil was allowed to tempt God the Son himself. And what did Jesus do? He quoted Scripture. He fought the enemy with the truth. Brothers and sisters, that's part of our armor that we're going to get to in just a second. The Father, in His mercy, has set limits, just like He did in the book of Job. He said, you can go so far, but no farther. Brothers and sisters, as we are tempted in this world, sometimes we think He can do everything. But what is the most He or His people can do? Kill us? If He kills us, guess where we are? We're in heaven. Now that does not mean we go out and try to jump in front of a Mack truck to prove a point. What it does mean is we rest in the strength and the might that God gives us through the armor that He gives us. But you see, the devil knows this, and he fights like a maniac to do as much damage before his judgment falls on his own head. Folks, he knows where he's going to end up. A wounded animal is the worst animal to fight. A wounded bear will kill you a lot quicker than a normal bear. Brothers and sisters, we need God's armor to protect us and to help us overcome the schemes and tactics of the enemy. A good offense is the best defense. Now, I want you to note something. We're about to get into the particulars of the armor. All of this armor can be used and should be used in an offensive nature. Think about it. All this stuff covers your front. Why does your front need to be covered? Because you're moving forward. You don't need any armor in your back because your back's not to the enemy. Your front's to the enemy. How many of you know what a claymore mine is? Some of you do. What it is, it's a little box and it's full of steel darts and it's got explosives, but there's a little sign on the front that says, front toward enemy. Brothers and sisters, we need to face the enemy, and those little darts that we have are the truth. And it should come out of us in a powerful and strong manner, overcoming any obstacle that the world, flesh, and devil puts in our way. But we do it not to hurt. We do it to give life. We do it to give truth. We do it to sustain and build and strengthen. We do not do it to destroy. The only thing we are told to destroy are the works of the devil. Jesus came to do that. And in imitation of Him, we are to do that. So let's get into the armor itself. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the perspiration. Did I say perspiration? The preparation of the gospel of peace. Now we're going to get to the specific uniform. Truth should be our belt. Truth should be our belt. That should be what holds everything we have together. Now, as you can see in our Roman soldier here, all of his stuff, except for his helmet and his shoes, is connected. The breastplate, all that stuff is connected by a belt. You see, our righteousness has to be founded in the truth. And what is the truth? Well, our righteousness is found in Jesus Christ. And since He is the way, the truth, and the life, then He binds us together. A modern trooper's web gear is held together by a type of belt. It goes over his breast and his chest and the bulletproof armor and all that stuff he's got. Paul's point is that the truth, the real gospel truth, holds all of our faith and our belief together so that we can use it for one purpose, to stand firm in Christ. You see, this war, as we said last year, this war that we fight is a bloody and dangerous war. We will get wounded by words. We will get wounded by deeds. Sometimes we may even get wounded by actual weapons. But we must stand firm in the truth. And it holds all the things together. And then it talks about righteousness being our breastplate. Now, the breastplate, the armor, protected the vital organs of a soldier. You see right there behind his shield? That protected your heart, your lungs, your liver, your spleen, anything that doesn't act very well if a foreign object such as an arrow point gets in there. That armor protected it. Righteousness protects our inward man. When we are in Christ's righteousness, we are not judged because we are forgiven. We are judged, the sins are judged in Christ on the cross. But we ourselves are protected by His righteousness. It acts just much like a tactical vest does today. The heart and the lungs, where we receive the air to and where we pump the blood, they are the key organs. And this is true in any fighting situation. You've got to be able to breathe and your blood is pumping 90 to nothing. You can kill an enemy by smothering him or by bleeding him out. That's where the lungs and the heart play most important. You need to protect them so that when you are fighting, if someone delivers a blow to you, you are protected by righteousness. Not your righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. That breastplate of righteousness keeps the arrows and the spear points out of our innards so that the soldier can keep up the battle. And Christ, as we said, His righteousness is what guards our hearts. And the Holy Spirit is the air that we breathe, the pneuma. You know, Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, I say that a lot of times at funerals, at the graveside. I've said that many times, and I will continue to say it, because it is the peace of God that the world can not understand. And it is Christ Jesus who keeps our hearts and our minds protected by His righteousness. And then it talks about our feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, our combat boots are the gospel. Now, what does that mean? It means that the boot is what carries the soldier to the fight. Can you imagine trying to go through a field full of landmines and cockaburras and acacia wood and thorns barefooted? You'd be too worried about stepping on something. You got to have something on your feet that carries you into that battle. And it is the gospel that protects us from the thorns and the rocks and the blades and the uneven ground that we have to traverse in this fight. You see, the world is going to make the ground as difficult as it can because it doesn't want to hear the gospel. It doesn't want to hear the truth. And isn't the gospel nothing more than the truth of what God has done for us? It's a beautiful thing. In fact, in another part of the Bible, it says, beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Beautiful is the fact that God sends us. The gospel is what carries us forward into the fray. We overcome the obstacles. We jump over the booby traps that the enemy lays before us through the power of the gospel. And the gospel is power. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says this, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." The gospel comes in not only just word, but when it comes and it requires you to make a change, it comes in power and in the Holy Spirit. And once you accept that gospel, God gives you the Holy Spirit with much assurance, and you become more powerful than the world can even imagine. Now, that doesn't make us Jedi Knights where we can make things float and all that kind of silliness. But it does make us able to go before the throne of God and make our requests known. What other place would you want to be when you have a problem? The gospel carries us, and it uses the power of God to assure men of its truth. You know, when you read the gospel and you believe it, that is the Holy Spirit giving you the ability to believe the truth. When the whole world wants to blind you, wants to cover up the truth, wants to make the things of God as silly superstition, brothers and sisters, you may not believe it, but there is going to come a day when the whole world will bow a knee and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Messiah and Savior to the glory of God the Father. Even the demons are going to bend a knee. And we will be in victory when that happens. And I'm looking forward to that day. We get tired of fighting sometimes. You know, you put on that breastplate, you put on that belt, you put on those shoes, but you're still not completely prepared. That's not the whole armor yet. Here we go, verse 16. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit." We know what prayer is, but what is supplication? That is begging. That is putting a petition before the Lord, asking for a particular thing. And we need to do that in the Spirit, the Bible tells us, and watching with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. Now see, the first part we talked about the armor. Now we're going to talk about the weapons. The shield of faith is used not in a defensive stance. What did it say? It said to quench the fiery darts. Now we've got the picture of the guy behind the shield and the flaming arrows coming in and hitting the shield. No, to quench it means you're moving forward. That hits your shield and you quench it. It's an offensive weapon. Those Roman shields, you know, I just thought I should have brought that Roman shield that Christine made in the fifth grade. I've got a full size, it's not metal, but it's a Roman shield. I should have brought that. Next time, in a couple of years when we preach on that, remind me of that and I'll bring it. But it is the shield, and it's wood, and it's iron. And when the enemy hits it, you can attack with it. You can see it's got a little point, a knob right there in the center. Why? Because you move forward. And when they got together and they grouped them together, they looked like a turtle, but it was their version of a tank. They would move forward. They would have their spears and their swords coming out from between them shields, and they would move and they would break the enemy formations. It is our faith which breaks the enemy's strongholds. It is the shield of faith that allows us to quench those darts that the wicked one throws at us. Whatever dart that may be. Whether it be a personal attack, someone calling you this and saying you're this and that and the other, or it be a physical attack or a financial attack, whatever. Our faith is there and we're behind it, ready to go, but we're moving forward. You notice, as we said earlier, that shield is only armored on one side because we're moving forward and never retreating. Our faith lets us move into the fight with the protection of God Himself. And let's be honest. Every now and then a fiery dart is going to slip past that shield. Every now and then. And it's going to hurt. But you know what? When it does, we can take that shield and we can smash that dart and put out the fire. Our faith overcomes the world. And our faith overcomes the attacks of our enemies. Our faith in who? In Jesus Christ. Not of ourselves, but in Christ alone. If they could destroy the church with their attacks, brothers and sisters, they would have already done so. They've been coming after the church ever since the upper room. They've been coming after the church ever since we dared speak the truth out in public. And if they could have, they would have. But they didn't. And as we used to say back home, they ain't. They will never overcome the church of Jesus Christ. They will never overcome the body of Jesus Christ. So that is the reason they scream so loud. Because our weapons work. They change the heart. Because it's not us that's doing it. It is Christ and the Holy Spirit that is changing the heart. And they lose members of their army every day all over the world. And folks, let me tell you something real quick. You got people that pretended to be Christian for a while, for a season. But then they go off and say, well, I can't believe anymore. You never believed in the first place, Jack. You didn't. Because when you come into the Holy Spirit and He changes you, you are no longer what you were. But if you're still what you were, you never changed. Therefore, you gave a head knowledge, but you didn't give a heart knowledge. You didn't believe. If you believe, you are now a warrior in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're given our helmet of salvation. Helmet. What does a helmet protect? It protects your mind. It protects your brain. It protects your thinking center. It protects our minds and spirits because we are certain of what we believe. We are assured in what we believe, not by our own intelligence, but by the truth of the Word of God. The helmet can also be used offensively. You don't believe me? Why do you think they have a penalty for spearing in the NFL? You can take that helmet and you can ram it into somebody. It not only protects... It not only makes you look good, it is offensive armor also. You see, many false teachers want us to think that we cannot be saved by grace through faith. They want us to either be legalistic or put our faith in ourselves or put our faith in some system. We can't do that. We put our faith in Jesus Christ alone. As we sang this morning, He is the cornerstone. He is all that we need. Our faith in Him is what gives us our strength. They want to add man-made rules and regulations so that you can be saved. But you know, much like that football player we kind of referenced, we can lower our head and ram those lies right off the field. We can lower that salvation and say, this is how you are saved. And we can advance on the opposition. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ alone. This very thought protects us from not only the false teachers that we talked about, but by our own vanity and thinking that we can save ourselves. You know, that's one of the biggest and most pernicious lies out there. If I'm just good enough, God is going to save me. Dude, on your own, you can never be good enough. Lady, on your own, no matter how sweet you are, you cannot be good enough. All of us are born sinners. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we have that salvation, when we have that shield, we're ready for the fight. But we have one more weapon. Lastly, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is used to rightly divide truth from error. Remember Hebrews 4 in verse 12 where it tells us, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." If you don't believe me, try this experiment. Get into a moral argument with somebody who believes in certain aspects of immorality. And you can talk all day long about culture and society and tradition and what's right for man and all that. And you know, they'll argue with you, but you introduce the Word of God into it and you watch what happens. Their faces change. Their eyes get all narrow. Their face turns red. Their ears turn purple. You start to see smoke coming out their lips and their ears and their nose, because they have no way to fight the Word of God. Oh yeah, they'll yell and scream. They'll call you hypocrite and all that kind of stuff. Get used to it. It's going to happen every day of your life if you're godly in Christ Jesus. But that is proof that the weapon works. It divides soul from spirit. It tells them the truth. And the truth is what hurts, because they want to believe a lie. Brothers and sisters, people that don't love Christ, are not in the body of Christ, are not Christian, they will believe a lie much sooner than they will believe the truth. And when you pigstick them with the Word of God, they're going to holler. They're going to squeal. They're going to yell. They're going to curse. They're going to do everything. Do not let that affect you. Stand firm in the truth. Now, I'm not saying you have to be a jerk. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. You do these things in love to save the person, to give the person strength, to give him access to eternal life that God is ready to give them by faith. You don't say, "I'm better than you, and you better believe what I believe, or else you're going to hell." Well, that may be truth, but you don't approach it that way, except in very extreme circumstances, which means only about 1% out of 100. But that other 99%, you do so in love, in meekness, in humility, but while standing firm. Now let's talk about that sword a little more. It exposes the evil schemes. It exposes the plans. It exposes their arguments for the silliness that they actually are. Have you heard some of these arguments by some of the people that are pushing immorality? That is the silliest argument. You know, I saw a lady at the Hy-Vee the other day, and she had on a sweatshirt. Now, I was parked there, and she had her car, and she had all the rainbow stickers and equal signs and all that stuff on it. And she had on a t-shirt, and she said, "Love wins." I didn't speak to her, because I was in my car, and I was thinking, well, you know, she's half right. Love does win. It's the love of God that wins. And the love of God says, "I love you. Here's salvation, here's eternal life, but if you reject it, you're on your own." Now you tell me one person that can stand before God Almighty in their own righteousness and be reconciled unto Him. There's only one person that's ever stood before God in His righteousness, and that is God the Son. And when we are in Him, we are forgiven, and we become children and servants of the King, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And He gives us that belt of truth, and He gives us that breastplate of righteousness, His righteousness, and He gives us those sandals, the preparation of the gospel of peace, the combat boots, as it were. He gives us that shield of faith. And you know, the older we get, the stronger and thicker that shield becomes. Because we have experience in God's presence to make it stronger. And then we receive our helmet of salvation. And then lastly, is the weapon we actually had all along. The Word of God. And it's a wonderful weapon. It exposes the intents of their hearts. And it exposes the intents of our hearts too. And herein lies the wars, brother and sister. The enemy does not want to give up what he already has. If God is working on a person, the enemy will do everything in its power to keep that person from crossing the lines, from coming into the camp of God. He'll throw up family problems. He'll throw up his own pride, his own arrogance. He'll throw in work problems. He'll throw in health problems. He'll do anything he can to keep his claws in that person. But you see, when the sword of the Spirit slaps those claws off and they fall off, and that person is no longer under the influence or under the death sentence of sin, then there is a miracle in itself. How could somebody like that be saved? How could someone like me be saved? It is a miracle. A miracle of miracles. Yes, virgin birth, that's a miracle. Resurrection, that's a miracle. We share in the miracle of the resurrection because we go from death to life. And our weapon that we use to show how it happened to us, that we show other people, is powerful. And we need to be able to wield it properly. You know, it'd be real funny, you go into battle and you grab the sword by the blade and you try to hit somebody with the handle. That ain't the way a sword works. And you might have to have some stitches afterwards too. You grab it by the handle and you wield it. Brother Jeff, when I thought of that, I thought of the picture of the guy sitting on a limb with a chainsaw trying to cut the tree limb, but from the wrong side. That's the way some of us handle the Word of God. No, no, we need to learn in prayer, in humility, and by the illumination and the power of the Holy Spirit, what we need to use it. And then lastly, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Folks, that's how we engage the enemy. We pray. We take our heavenly weapons, not made by man, not of a carnal nature. They're not guns and tanks and knives and chainsaws or pikes or Kaiser blades or anything, machetes, anything like that. We have the weapons forged by God that have lasted the test of time. We pray, we pray, we pray, we love, we forgive, we teach the Word, we live the Word, and we fight the good fight with the armor that He has given us. We do not surrender, and we do not go back. If you do, you never were a part of the army anyway. But if you are, God bless you. You're in the fight for your life, but a fight that's worth every drop of sweat and every drop of blood and every tear that is cried. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we must take up the whole armor of God. We must stand firm in the day's fight. Trust in the Lord and the power of His might. Rely on the Spirit to give you opportunity and the correct words to say. Remember that Jesus said, when you are brought before kings and counselors, do not worry what you will say, for in that day the Lord will give you the words through the Holy Spirit to say, you will be a witness for me to all people. A little bit of paraphrase, a little bit of conflation, but that's what it says. So therefore, brothers and sisters, we see our gear. We need to pick it up, and we need to get ready for this fight. Because, brothers and sisters, this fight, we've already won it. That's what is so shocking to many people. We've already won this fight. We're fighting, and we're fighting a deadly fight, but we've already won. And we've won through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise team. So brothers and sisters, the question is, where do we pick up this gear? What line do we stand in? Where do we go for boot camp? Well, let me tell you this. Your basic training is in the church. This is where you learn. Here, when you're young, through Sunday school, Bible school, whatever you may be, you learn the Word of God. The basics, yes. You learn other things by experience. God puts you out in the field, and you learn through hard times. You learn through trials. You learn through persecutions that you can trust Him. In fact, I would be the first to tell you, He is the only one you can trust. And I think some of us know, we can't trust our own family sometimes. We can't trust our co-workers. Sometimes we can't even trust people in the church, believe it or not. But you can always trust the Lord. And as long as He is your King, your Savior, and your Captain, you will be victorious and you will be able to take up that armor and use that armor to advance the kingdom. But you've got to be in the army first. You've got to enlist. You just can't show up one day at a submarine and say, "Hey, I'm here, let's go to work." You got to have a job, you got to be trained, and you got to know what you're doing. And then, brothers and sisters, you become part of the army of God. You got to join up first, is what I'm trying to tell you. Are you enlisted? Are you a member of the army of God? If not, what's holding you back? I mean, you don't have to sign a piece of paper and get on a bus and wound up at Tank Hill at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. You don't need that. You need to stand before the King and humble yourself and receive what He has given you and receive the orders He has given you. But you cannot do that unless you know Him. Do you know Him? If you don't, know Him. Come today. Learn of Him. Talk to me or some of the mature saints in this church and we will tell you what you need to be a part. And if you've gone AWOL. Now remember, when we're talking about spiritual warfare, so I'm going to be using a lot of military terminology. Have you gone AWOL in this army? Have you backed off and said, "Okay, I'm just going to sit back for a while. I'm old, I'm tired, I don't want to do anything anymore." No, you are always active. Until your last breath, you can at least pray for people. And that's part of what God has called you to do. So if you're AWOL, come back. You don't need a 96-hour pass. Just come back. Tell God you're ready to go. And He will use you in great and mighty ways. And if you don't know Him, come join up. Come be a part of the army that is victorious. And I told somebody last week, you know, I happen to read the end of the book sometime because I want to see what happens so I can get through all the stuff in the middle. Because that stuff in the middle will confuse you. But if you know what happens, I'm talking about novels. I'm not talking about the Bible. I'm talking about novels. Somebody said, "Yeah, that Bible sure confuses me." You read it with the Holy Spirit and it won't. Now, we win the war. The war is already over. The enemy just doesn't know it yet. We can fight this fight, and we are, not will be, we are victorious through Jesus Christ our Lord. Never forget that. Let's stand, please.